You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. And we are the premier success system for women entrepreneurs. And I'm just so excited about how my show has transformed. And we're turning it into a member spotlight. Well, Spotlight on eWomen, but we're really specifically focusing on members who have amazing stories to tell. You know, the kind of stories where when you're listening, you go, really? What? That kind of story, but also really stories of success. So they've gone from whether it's, you know, that quote, rags to riches, but it's a journey of extreme that takes them from one place of, you know, maybe dark despair or just some kind of quirky, crazy career into something of real success. And then we talk about some guidelines, some guidance, some advice in the second half of the show. That person will also offer you advice to help you grow your business and succeed and plow through, teach you, give you that inspiration to plow through whatever it is you're going through to help you get to the other side. So someone I'm going to introduce you today is actually one of my favorite people. Her name is Laura Gisborne, and Laura has a story that is wrought with abuse, but yet phenomenal success and where she is now. And she's a beautiful woman inside and out. I've had the good fortune of getting to know her at eWomen Network. She's a platinum member and she's just this amazing human being. So Laura, welcome and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm honored to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
So I mentioned that you've started your life in a very dark place. I don't know, started like from birth, but if you would just kind of give us that look into your past. You've written a book about it, so it's not a secret. And tell us about that, your past, about what you had to go through and survive and to get to where you are today.
Yeah, thank you for asking. And I would say really, Phyllis, that, you know, my story begins with my mother's story. My mother was a teenager when she left home and she was on her own and fell in love with a young man who was also a teenager and found herself pregnant in 1965. And she lived in an apartment with three other girls in a two-bedroom apartment and made about $100 a week and was really distraught when she found out she was pregnant. And then 2 weeks after she found out she was pregnant, my father was stabbed and killed in a drug deal that went wrong. He was dealing drugs. He was 18. And, I think that everybody involved here was doing the best they could, but they just didn't have any resources and didn't have any access. And so, without being judgmental, abortion was illegal at that point. She went to visit an abortion clinic, tried to have a procedure. It didn't work. Obviously, I'm here. I always say God had a bigger plan. And she managed. But what happened through really all of my childhood is there's a series of just experiences that I say are things that were tough for people in the developed world, right? You know, we do a lot of work internationally now. So these problems of child abuse and sexual molestation and poverty by American standards are different than what we see in other places in the world, but it was still a really tough journey. And I knew that one of the things that I felt I knew as a child was that really if her life could have been so different if I hadn't been born, you know, that so much of the struggle was related to her being a single mom and then being in relationships that weren't healthy. And she just never really had a chance to work on herself. And, there was an ongoing struggle. So as a young woman, when I started having my relationships, you know, I lived with a man that beat me on a regular basis and I was severely anorexic. And I worked, you know, two jobs and went to school and just always tried to be more and do more and try to be enough, but it never really was enough until I finally kind of hit bottom. And a woman that I worked with came to me and said, it doesn't have to be so hard. And I didn't really understand what she was saying, but she took me by the hand and took me to a place where I could start to get counseling on a sliding scale for, $25, because that's what I could really stretch to do at the time. And somebody also handed me Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. Mm. And that really started the trajectory of me seeing the world as a different place and getting help and, you know, thousands of dollars and many, many hours later and years later, I would say, of a lot of personal development. The life I live today is a life that I didn't really dream of as a child. I didn't know it was possible. And the work that we do now with Legacy Leaders Global is to be able to help other young women and children in the world that just, you know, don't know it could be different. And if we can give them an opportunity and they want to have that opportunity to expand and grow, it's amazing what happens. So good things.
Yeah. And you're such a positive person. I know that you've been experiencing some health issues with your husband and, but yet you still come back and you go, he's still around. I mean, he's here and, and we've got, you know, hopefully we have another 15 years. So,
yeah, hope
you
so.
Know, I just, it's that outlook. But when you were growing up in that environment, that positive attitude and that mindset is so critical to surviving. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And it's actually something I'm working on right now. I'm working on a TED talk actually around this, around resilience. And what is it that makes some people resilient and then some people shut down? I don't know what that is. I think that I have a very deep connection to source and to God and I have a deep faith. But again, in the darkest hours, what I've really realized, Phyllis, is that in the darkest times, there are times I'm sitting on the side of the road, beaten up and just crying. I really was never alone. You know, I mean, I made it through. And I think that there's a great gift in having these really tough experiences that happen for us so that we can see that, you know, maybe the law of contrast, you know, the beauty of it. And you just, you know, referenced my husband. My husband is 56 and just had an emergency quadruple bypass about a week ago, Tuesday. And, you know, it's a humbling experience. It's a shocking experience. We're very, very grateful that he got to the hospital when he did. And at the same time, the sweetness that's on the other side of living life full out and being connected and watching him with our now adult children have this incredible communication and connection. I think it's the fabric of life. I think it's the, you know, our lives are very, very rich. So,
yeah. What is it when you're sitting on the side of the road and you're crying? Is it retrospect that you had faith back then that where you felt you weren't alone? Like when you're sitting there, most of us, when we're sitting crawled up in a fetal position, right? We think that the world is coming to an end and it's a very difficult moment. There is something that gets us out of bed.
Yeah.
So was it, did you have that sense back then, or is there something else that came to you that made you get up and just move on?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm really thinking about, you know, kind of being in that space and being in that experience. And, you know, I think that there's a place inside of today, I would say, you know, now that I have children and I have motivation for family and people that I loved, I could see how that would get me through, right? But at the time, I really was alone. You know, I was completely ostracized from my family and they weren't healthy either. So it was just really no place to go. And, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that I look to that to be the divine. I look to that to say that God had a bigger plan for me to be here. Otherwise, I wouldn't. You know, otherwise I would have. I never had thoughts of suicide. I never had thoughts like I don't want to live. And you know, it was really so many days, Phyllis, when you come from an environment where you really are experiencing consistent abuse and neglect as a child. What I found is that other people that I've spoken to, right, and over the years, is that it's truly a survival. There's something about getting up the next day, right? There's something about just moving about what can I do now? And since this is in the context of how we serve other women business leaders, there's a place too of like some days, it's not necessarily that same violence, but it feels completely overwhelming. It feels like there's so many things to do. It feels like there's so many places that we could be doing. If we choose to go into the place where we feel guilty about it or we feel bad about ourselves, we don't make progress. So sometimes it's just, what's that next step? and getting into action. So I'd say that, you know, really being at rock bottom for what I could perceive and feeling really alone as a young woman, what I could do is the next step. What I could do is get up and go to work the next day. What I could do is go to class. I think I always had, because I wanted to get an education. Nobody in my family had ever been to college, right? So, you know, my mother said to me as a kid, like, you're really smart. You could be a doctor or a lawyer. These are going to be your only tickets out, right? So I knew that I had to go to community college, and then I had to get myself into state university, and then I got into law school. Like, there was these places of what's the next step? And I think in life and business, when you look back, and this is present for me right now because of Scott's situation. We were sitting in the emergency room 2 weeks ago today. And, you know, after we had the conversations about our power of attorney and life insurance and where everything is legally, right? It's just a strange, surreal conversation to be having. He looked at me and said, you know, if this is it, I'm good.
Mm.
And I said, well, okay. Thank you. And are you sure? You know? And he said, yeah, I really am. If this is it, I'm good. I mean, I lived so well for this short period of time, you know, for 56 years. And I said, okay, so if it's not it, then what? You know, if we get some more time, what do you want? And he said, I just want more of the same.
Mm.
And I think, you know, for me, the blessing of that, to be in partnership with my, you know, my beloved, challenging, stubborn, crazy husband, is that we really have been blessed to live full out. And a lot of it is about taking action. You know, we got married 10 weeks after our first date 17 years ago.
Mm.
And we're just people who do things. We get out and we do the next step. And I think that that's maybe the lesson for business leaders, is what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
We can always just take that next step and not get so overwhelmed about what's going to happen in 10 years from now. Life works for us, you know, and having that conversation, then asking for guidance, asking for support for me is, you know, I pray and I ask for to be shown the next step. And a lot of times that's how God speaks to me. It just shows up as an opportunity, a synchronicity, an introduction, somebody I might meet in a yoga class. I mean, that next step shows up when I actually stop and ask for guidance and watch.
That's, boy, that's quite a story. And to be sitting across from this man that you adore and saying, this could be it. Well, it might be good for him, but might not be good for you. But at the same time, when you love someone so much that if it's good for them, it's got to be good for you, you know?
Right. Each soul is on its own journey. So it's an interesting thing. It doesn't make it easy.
No, not at all. And nobody said it would be easy, right? So good things are hard. I keep coming back to, I just saw the movie Hidden Figures the other day at home. And I was reminded of John Kennedy when he said, we're going to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard, right? Anything of value is hard to get. It's hard to come by. A degree is hard. Getting out of an abusive situation is hard.
Well,
if it was easy, you would do it.
I would beg to differ, and I'll tell you why. I started praying a few years ago to be showing, you know, because there's this conversation where I was watching women that I loved, and as I stepped into my own leadership as a woman, I'm watching these women struggle, and I thought, you know, people will say to me sometimes, oh, Laura, it seems like it's so easy for you. And I can tell you, it is easy in some ways, easier than it was. What was difficult in the past was me feeling like I had to do it all myself and struggling and pushing and pushing to try to make things happen versus really allowing myself to be more led and taking those next steps. As simple as that sounds, I truly believe, Phyllis, that, you know, we live in an abundant universe. We live in a place where everything that we really need is provided for us. And part of the human condition is learning how to be supported, learning how to receive. And so what I started praying for was to show me growing pleasures. Show me growing pleasures instead of growing pains.
Mm.
And even through this last few weeks of this incredible struggle for our family, there's been so much joy. There's been so much love, and it's been just heart expanding, you know, no pun intended, because it was heart disease, but it's just been like, wow, we get to have this amount of love. We get to have this experience. And, you know, why do I choose to look at that way? I don't know. But I think that there's something about that perception that really, if you looked at things instead of, you know, I don't want to sound like an old adage, but half empty or half full, man, how much richer and how much more joyful can life be?
Right. And, you know, you just said those words, get to. It's something that when I work with kids, I'll say, so what do you get to do today? You get right. to go to school. It's not yes. I have to. And that slight shift in that mindset and those words, it's amazing how powerful that can be. And it's that gratitude, you know, the song Live Like You're Dying, you know, mm-hmm. it's in a way where you're experiencing that real lot in real life. And I ask you as viewers of this or listeners of this podcast is ask yourself, you know, can you say what Scott said to Laura and that I'm good? I'm good. If I were to get hit by a bus tomorrow or get heart disease or yep. whatever that might be, are you good? Yeah. Are you good? I think that's your next book.
There's more. Writing the first book was like birthing a baby. It took me forever. So now I guess I'm in book number three. So it's interesting.
Oh my goodness. All right. Now listen, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how your experience has played into your business and what you're doing now and offering some guidance to people and business owners who want some help getting to those milestones. So we're going to take a short break.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you, to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
We're back now with Laura Gisborne. Yes, this is Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. And what a compelling story that Laura shared with us today on many levels, from her past and born to a teenage mother, a father who was murdered, and then living in just bad situation, abusive situation, and yet she's managed to come out of it. She's, you know, with this amazing husband and amazing family and for the last 17 years. And then she got another whammy a couple of weeks ago when her husband, they found, had to get triple bypass at the age of 56. And so, you know, Laura, it's kind of like when you think you've been through the worst, you know, wham, life throws another curveball at you. And but you have such gratitude, and I want to acknowledge that here, that what, like we were saying before we went to the break, you get to see your husband another day, your children get to see him another day, and it's amazing when you shift your mind in that direction and you see the good. So let's move into your business. Tell us about your business. You've written a couple of books, and you've had many. You're really a serial entrepreneur, aren't you? So why don't you kind of give us the lowdown on, okay, I did this, 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 and this, and now here's where I am.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I, it's so interesting because people give you this, like, you are, and I'm like, okay, if you say so, right? I mean, I'm just moving along life doing what I knew to do. So I've actually owned 9 companies, Phyllis, 9 mm-hmm. different small businesses, mostly because I love the creation of a startup. I mean, I love that whole, I'm passionate about that. And then I realized very quickly that I didn't love operations, right? So I had to get very masterful at creating systems and building teams so other people would run the organization. Mm-hmm. We've sold 6 of our companies, which has been great and provided us a lot of financial freedom. And part of that is, again, the education, the growing. And none of us come out of the womb knowing how to be an entrepreneur. It's something that happens over time. And, you know, I just have spent a lot of time doing this. So currently what my work in the world is, I work about 50% of the time with nonprofits, helping them scale and reach more people, helping them with fundraising, helping them with, again, building teams and organization, which I can do as a volunteer now. And then the other half of the time I work with for-profit businesses that are interested in scaling for purpose. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's a level of profitability that you reach at a certain point where you reach financial sufficiency. And when you have that, it's really fantastic to be in a position to be able to use your business as a vehicle to create, you know, wealth and create revenue for causes that you care about and help other people. You know, I always love this from Sandra. It's all about access, right? Have other people get access to things they never thought were possible. It's amazing to see how quickly we can break cycles of poverty and heal a poverty consciousness by really having our businesses be on purpose and not just for profit.
Tell us how your past, your experience and growing up in such a horrific conditions, how that impacts you now. I mean, you're as you were saying, 50% is philanthropic and 50% is helping others, not just grow a business, but grow a business with purpose, with the right. same concept. You're paying it forward to also be purposeful in helping others in your business. So
absolutely. So I would think, you know, again, we are all, I go back to Sandra because she's been one of my greatest role models and mentors in this leadership work that I do today. And, you know, we're all, I wouldn't say we're victims of our circumstance by any situation, but we're kind of the results of what we've experienced, right? And so I think that growing up in a place where I was constantly in fear and constantly struggling, once I got to the other side of that and realized that life didn't have to be that way and it started to get better and better and better, you know, I think that there is an opportunity to be able to give back to others. When you, there's so much gratitude when you come through to be on the other side to say like, okay, well, who else can I help shorten the journey? We do this a little bit, you know, in the for-profit sector, if you will, with our business, right? If we're working as a coach or consultant, we're trying to help another business owner, try to help other people around marketing or sales or whatever your business is directed towards, teaching, accounting, helping people heal their money issues. What we find is that there's something that's amazing about how giving causes growing. And when we have business owners that don't know that they can do that, start to give, they start to realize how much more expansive they actually are. You know, we all kind of think like, gosh, well, I only have a dollar. But if you have a dollar and you learn to live on 90 cents and you can give 10 cents away, and you're like, okay, I'm still okay. Now, what would I do if I gave away 20 cents, right? Could I live on 80 cents? It's an interesting thing. But then, it, you know, God and the universe, in my experience, steps up. And there's so much more expansion that comes. So we expand first internally, and then it starts to show up externally. And, you know, I can't imagine why I got to be a person who got to get to the other side in this short period of time, in these 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. But it is, you know, my life is really, really blessed, and I'm very, very grateful. And I know that I had this luxury, Phyllis, of being able to take time off, right? I started as a volunteer when I was 23. I started working with CASA, and you know this because of the work we've done with eWomen Foundation, which was really working as a guardian ad litem, working as an advocate for foster children and for children that were in being removed from their families. So you know, that was kind of my first calling, was probably around healing myself, right? Just how do I stop that pain? And then that started moving into parent education. I was a young mother, right? So you know, my volunteer work, like my for-purpose work or my profit work, excuse me, was tied together, right? It was kind of like following that next step, the next passion. And I think it goes back to what I said a little while ago. we don't need to know the whole shebang. I'm pretty sure that like I've got all these veils and God removes them for me one at a time as I'm able to handle it, right? Like as I need to know, I'm shown. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to really get in action. And what I found is that everything I've needed has been provided through business, through life. And it's just, again, taking those next steps.
Really there's trusting. Also, I have to say, there's also a calmness about you, and to be able to let go and know that there will be a way is really hard. Because I think, especially entrepreneurs, we all want to control everything, right? We're all just control freaks.
As a young entrepreneur, yes, not as a mature
not anymore. Yeah, but. But you know, in fact, we were just, Sandra was actually, we were all talking and, yeah. and having lunch together today on Cinco de Mayo. And she was talking about how they've just come out with that millennials are the largest demographic to ever become entrepreneurs.
Wow.
And I think it's really interesting because, you know, there is a lesson for those listening who yes. are in their millennial stage and want to become, who are in beginning to become an entrepreneur, want to become an entrepreneur, that the letting go, first you have to also take the risk, but you have to know that when you do take that risk, there is a, you know, that things will come your way. If you don't take that risk, what happens? Nothing.
Right? Right.
And see where you are is that, like you say, as an older entrepreneur, more veteran, I should say a veteran,
mature.
Entrepreneur,
like
more mature,
I like mature audience.
Mature, yes. a mature entrepreneur, that you can look back and go, I survived it and I'm okay and better than okay. And so if you can provide some, just a word of advice to say the millennials or somebody who is hanging on for dear life and worried to take that next step.
Yeah.
How would you coach them? How would you encourage them to let go?
Well, I think here's the thing. There's this idea, you know, there's a lot of talk in the entrepreneurial world, like that there's something wrong with having a job. I think having a job is an amazing blessing. My first job was at McDonald's. I always think that, again, God had a bigger plan because my work, where people say, like, how do you run these companies and still have all this time freedom? The answer is always systems. So we try to make systems sexy, but people don't think they're sexy. And yet they really are, because the freedom that comes from having systems is very sexy. So
explain that though. Explain to people, what do you mean by systems?
Yeah, I will. And let me answer the first question, if I may, please, because I'm not sure that I did. And that is that you don't just throw out your job, right? If you're risk adverse, I'm not here to tell anybody to just like throw it all away and go for it. I don't think that that's smart. I think it's wise to be a good steward of your opportunities and to be really looking at financial sufficiency. So if you have a job and you need to work a little harder on nights and weekends to create a business, that's, you know, again, I'm a typical overnight sensation. This didn't just happen, right? There's something about while one business was growing and running and it was operating and creating cash flow, then I could have the freedom to start the next business. But I was willing to do that on nights and weekends. It's something I enjoyed doing. So if somebody's really interested in entrepreneurship, it takes a commitment of your time and your energy and your money, but don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? Like make sure you have some sufficiency. The other piece I would say is that have faith and confidence in your ability and learn how to do the thing that's most important for your business, which is generating revenue. Without revenue, you don't actually have a business. So, you know, I think that the greatest skill that any entrepreneur can have is to learn financial management and to learn sales skills. Without these two things, you actually don't have fuel for the fire. You can't drive the car with no gas, right? So when we look at the five pillars of business, and you'd ask me about this because we were talking about this in the nonprofit sector as well, the first thing that all entrepreneurs need to learn how to do is do revenue generating activities. Get very sophisticated in your marketing and your sales conversations. Because if something you invest in, if there's something that you put your time and energy into and it doesn't work out, you take yourself wherever you go. Once you have the ability to be good at sales and to really you know, be able to provide a product or service, your own product and service or somebody else's, you'll always be able to generate more revenue. So I think that that's, you know, a life skill that if more young people could get great at that. My son, who is a geneticist, we sent him, one of his first jobs when he was in college is that he sold books door to door. And his task was to knock on 80 doors a day. 8080. I mean, this kid could sell anything at this point and knows how to generate revenue. He's fantastic as a geneticist, and he's out there saving the world at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And at the same time, he's got a life skill to be able to provide for himself if he needs to.
So that revenue, if you're in business, if you say, oh, I hate sales, but you own a business, don't own a business.
You want to embrace sales, because sales is simply service. There's a problem and a solution, and you bridge the gap, and that's where the sale comes. It's actually an honor to serve someone through sales, but now, we've got to get our mindset in the right place about that.
So you, as we mentioned before, that you are as passionate about a business, having a business and helping others with a business as you are in the philanthropic world. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You alluded to it. I know you do all kinds of great stuff all over the world. So just give us some of the things that you do and how that, and some of the great service that you've provided to help the world out there.
Well, thanks, honey. I would say that what I really got clear about, and it took a few years, right, when I started being asked to speak and lead, because I knew how it worked in my little world in Sedona, Arizona, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And as I started to expand, I kept hearing again in my prayers, I would have strange invitations. Can you come to China and lead a breakout session? I said, what's a breakout session? How can I help? You know, it was very like bizarre. What I'd say is this, that today what we do is really look at with our company, how many different ways can we use our business as a vehicle to create change? So we host 3 live events each year. We address the 5 pillars of business during the course of the year. So if somebody's really looking for leadership and mindset, we start with that. We move into finance, marketing, and sales with our summer event Flow. And then in the fall, we do the Path to Freedom, which is around systems, operations, team building. And each of these events are fundraisers. I don't sell tickets. I ask people to come if they share our passion for giving back, and they always blow me away. At our last event, we raised $60,000 our first day for charity, which was fantastic. I mean, it was just incredible. There was, we had 90 people registered at the time when we did that, with probably 60 people in the room. You know, it's just amazing. So each of those work. And then when somebody hires my company for consulting to help them scale or grow their company, we ask them to take 20% of their consulting fees and donate it to the charity of their choice. We feel like if you could hire us for that, you actually have that in your budget, or you know you're capable of creating that. Go ahead and start getting yourself in the act of giving. So we, you know, we let them do monthly payments. We love automated giving. So it's all about, like, you know, what can you comfortably put into your budget now? And let's have that be a priority, because it starts, again, growing and scaling. It's like, you know, it's what we do. So,
and so again, paying it forward, and you know, there's no, the beautiful thing about this is that I think sometimes, especially creative people, if they're in a business, they think money is kind of a bad thing, you know? And the truth is that doing what you're doing, where you can actually serve others by providing a gift that you have, and at the same time serve others out there who are in need. I mean, there is no greater combination than that. Now, you have an event coming up. It's in April 20th. It's every April, Limitless Women. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Limitless Women is really our kickoff event each year. And again, it's really around women in leadership, because we have, you know, again, for the grace of God, our mothers, our grandmothers, they've come through and they've had the hard road to hoe. We have so much freedom and so much opportunity today that never existed before for women. And we don't have a lot of role models for what it looks like to be a feminine leader in today's world. So we've got to support each other. The community is super important. It's one of the reasons that I'm an eWomen Network member, is that I know that I always get my soul fed, my brain fed. I learn more about entrepreneurship every time I show up at a meeting all over the country. It's sometimes out of the country, you know, spoken in Canada as well and visited those chapters. So I think that there's a place, again, of coming together in community. We host this event each year. You can find out about it online at limitlesswomen.com. It's pretty easy to find our stuff. You know, if you look me up, lauragisborne.com, then we have our events available online. And our events are invitation only. So what I mean by that is that we really try to vet, and I don't want to sound like we're trying to be exclusionary, but we vet the environment. And because it's very, very important that people that are coming together for the same purpose, right? It creates a higher vibration. It's really a conversation that a lot of people who are in startup and are struggling financially, they need a different type of support than looking at philanthropy. I'd like that we all got that giving is there and it should be important at any level. But again, if somebody's just like, how do I come and make money? It's not the right conversation. I'm really interested in having you be a part of our community if you're interested in profits for purpose.
I love it. Yeah. All right, Laura, we can talk on, but I think it's also important. When you talk about feminine leadership, you know, women like our age. Yeah. I know that my mom is not my role model. She didn't. She is, and sure. Not from a business standpoint.
Right, right.
From an everything else standpoint, she is. Yes. She's the most amazing, giving, fabulous woman. But in terms of a business and taking that step and entrepreneurship, you know, she's the wife that stayed home. You know, she worked, but, you know, didn't get her master's because my dad didn't want her to, and like that. But they married 65 years. So They're still in love. But my point is that I wouldn't look to her. And I think it's so important at your Limitless Women event to be, or even eWomen events, to be around other women who are leaders now, and where you can really share the pain, the suffering, and the good, and pat each other on the back and lift each other as we climb, which is Sandra, of course, the eWomen, and Sandra says, and that's one of our tenets of eWomen Network. So I thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful for you. Sure. We at eWomen are so grateful for you. And if you want to reach out to Laura and either attend one of her events or just get in touch with her, it's lauragisborne.com, and that's Gisborne, B-O-R-N-E, G-I-S-B-O-R-N-E.com. Best to you and your husband.
Thank you, Angel.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network.